Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Big names here on The Fan. Aditi Kinkabwala, who broke the Omar Khan, Andy Weidel story, going to join us in 20 minutes. She's got more news on another Steelers front office hire to tell us about. And we'll talk about the dynamic now within the front office, the hierarchy, the chain of command, the totem pole of power. Also, Jason LaCanfora, NFL insider, next hour. Brought to you by Driveway.com. Car buying delivered on your terms and on your turf. Bruce Arians. Tell you what, this Joe Moore camp has been huge for Cook and Joe. Ron has a relationship with the Joe Moore people.
Mm-hmm.
And because Arians has partnered up with Joe Moore, he went on with the guys today. They have landed Mike Munchak and Bruce Arians in the last week because of the Joe Moore camp.
That is pretty impressive. Well, I know them landing Munchak, A, probably sent just lightning bolts of jealousy through you. But I also know that their interview about with him caused you to maybe propose for what, the first time ever, a remote offensive line coaching job?
Yes. Yeah, they coached off of Zoom, so why not make him an assistant offensive line coach?
Except he would be the head offensive line coach. They'd just call him the assistant.
Yeah, like with Weidel and Omar Khan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're already doing that with their GM situation. Why not do that with offensive line coach, too? Bruce Arians, the highlights here. His take on the Khan promotion.
I think it's a great move for the Steelers. Omar's been there so long, he knows the landscape. He knows how it's done. Obviously, he and Mike will work so well together. And Andy's a hell of an evaluator to add to the mix.
I'm not a huge fan of same old, though, with the Steelers.
That's what it
feels
like.
Continuity with Khan. Talking about him being there for so long as a big positive. Well, he knows how the Steelers do things. Yeah, they haven't had a losing season in a while. Credit them for that. You know, they have been one of the most successful organizations in professional sports. But they've also won 3 playoff games in the last 11 years. And their GM worked for the Lions, and their head coach worked for the Vikings. They weren't guys that just got promoted.
Right. The head coach specifically had absolutely no ties here whatsoever. He just impressed them a great deal enough such that they altered their plans. I would say this too. When you're talking about like same old as regards to Khan isn't good enough, you're not necessarily saying Omar Khan was out buying the groceries. He was the one making up the contracts. And a fairly trying 2021 happened because his habit, that usually was successful, of pushing deals into the future and restructuring, finally caught up to them.
Well, unforeseen, they would say, because of the pandemic.
And I would agree with that. And then he came up with the voidable years gambit, but still, they weren't. Do you look at them and say, now maybe this is the Pittsburgh fishbowl, I know we got more Arians to hear. Do you look at them and say they've managed the cap beautifully overall? Like that Khan's time as the capologist, which everyone likes to call him, that's the common term. Do you think that he has done a great job with the salary cap?
I don't think he does such an incredible job that the Steelers have a huge competitive cap advantage over the rest of the league.
I think that's well phrased, and I think that
I hear
town
that locally,
here,
but I hear nobody nationally
thank
say
you.
That.
In town here, I think people have talked about him as if he is some sort of ace in the hole for them, when in fact, I think his position is one that every single team employs somebody for, in some cases, more than one person for.
B.A., speaking of knowing things, nobody knows quarterbacks better than you. What were your thoughts of Mitchell Trubisky, and what are your thoughts about Kenny Pickett?
I like Kenny Pickett coming out a lot. I thought he was the one pro-style quarterback this year that could play right away. And Mitch is a talented guy, great athlete. Thought he fit really well in what they were doing in Buffalo when he played up there. Showed off his ability, especially in empty backfield sets where he could get it out of his hand quick and then use his legs. Because he is such a great runner. It'd be interesting to see those guys battle it out.
Well, he's not going to have that Buffalo situation here, though, where it's empty set and he gets the ball out fast because their best player on offense is the running back. So I will...
Hold on, though. Like,
think about that.
I know Buffalo has become in vogue for, like, when they'd go empty set, the quarterback was the de facto running back, and he was pretty damn good at it.
Yep.
Again, why are we citing preseason plus, like, absolute trash mop-up duty as relevant here?
Because that's all we have to go by as far as his experience in
Buffalo. I actually
do
have a lot of respect for Bruce Arians. I do. But, like, Bruce, he threw 8 passes during the regular season when it really mattered.
I do believe, though, that as far as trying to find a backup who is a less talented version but is the same style of quarterback as your starter, I do think the Bills did a good job with Trubisky backing up Allen. I do think as far as having a backup that fits what you want to do with your starter, they did a good job with that there. But that was as a backup quarterback.
Right.
Not somebody who was going to take it to the next level, flourish, and thrive as a starter.
I mean, if the Steelers, for example, like, I think the Ravens did a good thing. Huntley and Lamar Jackson are similar. If the Steelers just brought in Tyler Huntley because his contract dictated that they could, would people here be like, oh, yeah, man, well, they got Tyler Huntley now? I don't think you'd be saying it that way.
Tell us more about Pickett. I'm sure just from due diligence, you kept your eye on the guy.
He was extremely well coached. I mean, Mark Whipple did a great job with that offense. He was in a pro-style offense where he was reading the whole field. Unlike most of these college guys, they just read half the field. You know, he was in that system, and he's sneaky quick, too. I mean, he can run and get out and make plays with his legs more than people give him credit for. You don't have to run a 4-3 to be, you know, agile and be able to run. And he does a great job of that, making plays outside the pocket. But he's got the arm. He can make every single throw. But I think coming out of that offense with Whip had him ready for the NFL.
I think that's a very accurate summation of Pickett's last year in college and what he showed and what he can take from that into the pros. I like that a lot. I think I would almost underline and put a check mark next to everything he said there.
I would say that Bruce Arians personally, and this is why I was surprised that it seems so many people were reporting that across the league, every like front office was down on these guys, the whole class. The only reason that was surprising was Pickett played for a guy that had plenty of NFL experience, was Ben's quarterback coach, Whipple was. Like, ran NFL concepts at Pitt. Arians is the first guy I've really heard like say, this guy made NFL throws and NFL reads for an NFL coach, and that is why I like him.
But that's all true.
No, I know. My whole point is, it's weird that it takes us till this point in this process where Pickett has already been almost on the Steelers for a month now to hear just Arians articulate
it.
I think tacitly
that's why people would put the low ceiling knock on him. Because the idea is, well, the college offenses are so rudimentary that they're not asking a lot out of the quarterbacks. So there's all this growth or upward potential because now a guy is going to have the ability to do so much more. Whereas Pickett was doing all of those things last year. So it's easier, I think, to cut and paste what he did in college and have him do it in the pros, which is to say, well, he showed he could do a decent enough job of it in college, which means he can probably be a competent quarterback in the pros playing that way.
Do you want to know something I actually believe, given what you just said? If Kenny Pickett's hands measured at like 9.75 inches, he'd have been in the top 10.
I think that there's something to that. I said last night with Pompiani, somebody called in and said, why do you think he dropped to 20? And I said, I didn't say age, but I thought age and hand size.
I think if his
hands—stupid as that.
I think if his hands were within the normal realm, which is what, like 9.25 inches
above? Well,
Donnie
has bigger hands than Pickett, doesn't he?
So do I.
Donnie's, oh, okay. Well, there you go.
But I'm just saying, if his hands were 1.25 inches, so not a huge amount of space we're talking about here, bigger than they are. Because we know, smallest hands they've ever measured. If there wasn't some sort of physical trait like that that really dinged him, I honestly think he would have gone 10 to 12 picks earlier because teams would have said pro production in a pro system for a pro coach, no red flags in our minds with any physical trait. Why wouldn't we take the guy?
Tell us a little bit about what it was like working with Brady, and I don't know how you look at the alleged controversy with the ending of you and Brady in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, people love to talk about it. No, Tom is fantastic. I mean, he's one of those guys that, you know, he wants everything answered before he takes the field, and you don't leave a stone unturned on his preparation. He comes to practice like a little 12-year-old kid. He's having a big smile on his face. He's joking. He's competing nonstop. I remember a two-minute drill. I said it was incomplete. He threw his helmet, kicked the ball across the field. And but he loves to compete like everybody. I mean, there's not a bigger competitor than Ben. Same with Peyton. They all learn differently and want to play the game differently. But Tom is he's a unique cat, and the – you know, I love the interaction, watching the rookies come up to him, especially the young receivers, and see him take them under the wing and make them better.
I think that Pickett has some of those intangible qualities that Arians is talking about there. Now, whether that translates for him to the pros or whether he has the physical talents to back it up is yet to be seen. But I think those leadership lead by example skills are partly what attracted the Steelers to Pickett.
I think that Pickett, the thing that separates Brady is that the accuracy and the know-how and the acumen are just otherworldly, because Pickett's got better physical tools in the toolbox than
Brady
does.
But they're
not going
to be outworked thing.
No, I know.
And loving the drudgery of the sport, I think Pickett's all in on that.
One of the most telling things Pickett ever said to us, in my opinion, was kind of, I'll say this in a way that sounds bad, but it isn't. It was kind of like a meat-headed comment where he just said, football is a sport for tough dude, like alpha male tough guys.
Yep.
That is a competitor talking right there, and that is a window, I think, into what he's all about more than almost anything else.
When I say Antonio Brown, you say what?
Great player, and practiced as hard and played as hard as anybody I've ever coached, and I wish him well.
Any regrets about having him join you guys there, or does that ring help mitigate any regrets?
No, he did. He had a great, big part of us getting that ring, and you know, the next season obviously didn't work out as well, but he was a big, big part of us winning the championship.
Where do you think it went wrong for him, and do you think that he'll ever play in the NFL again?
I wasn't there when he got his stardom, but watching him on film, he was just absolutely unbelievable, and the rapport he and Ben had together. But, you know, some guys handle it different than others, and, you know, I can speak of when he was with us, it was going great. Then he's fighting through some stuff, and it just didn't work out at the end.
Fighting through some stuff is an interesting way of putting it.
Yes, because AB's pretty version charitable of things is, I had a serious foot injury that you guys didn't take seriously.
Oh, no, I'm talking about in general, like just saying AB's problems are fighting through some stuff is doing a bit of high gloss on those things.
He stripped naked and danced off the field when he quit.
Yeah, like Antonio Brown, most of the problems seem pretty self-created.
Hey, did he reschedule his concert date here? Is it actually going to happen? Do we know?
Not sure. Didn't Deontay Johnson reschedule his camp, allegedly? Isn't that what's now happening? I don't know if AB did. I think AB has a worse reason, too, for missing his concert. He just wanted to hang out in another city with who?
He got stuck with Floyd Mayweather in Dubai.
Yeah, that's right. He wanted to hang out on another continent with probably one of the few professional athletes more unsavory than he is to a
lot actually
of people right
have
now.
More patience with Antonio Brown with that stuff than I do Deontay Johnson, though.
Because Antonio Brown's not a Pittsburgh Steeler anymore?
No, he's a way better player. When Antonio Brown would show up late for things and get certain allowances from Mike Tomlin, I would be more understanding than when Deontay Johnson doesn't show up for stuff.
I still am mad that we all got hoodwinked by the whole I want to retire a Steeler thing, and nobody put two and two together, hardly anyone did, that it was just to try to promote that concert.
If you could choose one of these guys, just one, to move ahead with, if you were, I don't know, starting a franchise.
Classic Starkey question
coaching,
here.
I like it,
of
though.
Of all the guys in the league, the younger guys, which one would you choose and why?
It's so hard. It is so hard. I take Andrew Luck, but I can't get him back out of retirement.
Wow.
He was just amazing. He was a combination of Peyton, Ben, Tom, all those guys put together. But it's amazing. There's so many in the AFC, especially in the West right now. But, you know, Pat Mahomes is just, he's a freak of nature with that arm and his ability to make plays. Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. You know, they're going on. I mean, there's just so many good. It's great to see for the game. We need great quarterbacks to have a great game. And, you know, the veteran guys are in the NFC and all the young guys are in the AFC. And I think the game is in a great situation. We've got some good team coming out of college next year. So I think the pipeline is going to keep going.
There's some good guys next year, meaning this year wasn't all that great. But anyways.
Mahomes, for sure. And I would even say Josh Allen. Okay.
No Burrow mentioned there.
No, this is gonna annoy you, but I'm going to play one of the old Mulsey hits here. I'll spin a hit real quick. Mahomes, inarguably, in my opinion, and Josh Allen, with minimal argument from me, all their best already is better than anything Andrew Luck ever did in the NFL. Now, that's easy to say in Mahomes' case. He's won a Super Bowl, and he's been to a couple more or whatever.
You know, if Colts fan Greg is hearing this, he's never going to talk to you again.
Okay.
And you're also going against Bruce Arians, who said pretty much Andrew Luck was a quarterback made in a lab.
Yeah, the experiment went pretty bad.
What do you mean? He just lost his desire to play football, Mulsey.
And what? How many Super Bowls did he get to before he lost that desire? Which I don't fault him for a bit.
Zero. Yeah. Well, yeah, you are faulting him because you're saying that he's not anywhere close to those other guys.
Yeah, he's. You know where I stand.
How many Super
him.
Bowls has Josh Allen been to? Boom.
Well, the Bills are my reigning Chris Muller champion.
Well, why weren't the Colts ever Chris Muller's reigning champion?
Because they didn't get beat by a hilariously bad coaching decision in 13 seconds.
B.A., you always described yourself as Ben's crazy uncle. and that literally, and you know you did that, right? I mean, you were his crazy uncle. How do you look back at your time with Ben?
Oh, my God, some of the fondest memories. I can't wait till he's talking about getting – he has to get his binoculars to look at the tee I'm teeing from now. I'm so far in front of him. We can't wait to play golf in the next couple of weeks when he comes down to the lake. And their family is our family. And just great, great years. I mean, did a lot together, did great things, and still think he should have been the Super Bowl MVP.
Whoa! Ho-ho! How about that one? That's kind of a bombshell. Take that, Antonio Holmes catching a stray there from Arians. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. Actually.
I actually don't either.
Ben had a very pedestrian offensive game until an all-time immortal drive that featured one of the great throws you will ever see. Prior to that, on that drive, the Steelers, everybody involved, benefited from a short throw to Holmes where Aaron Francisco fell down. You'll recall, I know you both remember this, and Holmes ran it for like 35 more yards. So no, I don't agree with that from B.I. I think Holmes actually deserved it. The rare case of the receiver deserved, like when Edelman won it a couple years ago, He absolutely deserved to win it in that Rams game.
Deion Branch won it over Brady in one Super Bowl.
I think if a receiver has huge individual numbers in a game where the quarterback's numbers are actually not overwhelming like that,
yep.
I think the receiver absolutely deserves it.
You want to rebuttal Mulsey here?
Well, no, I mean, I agree that Holmes was deserving to win it. But I did always wonder, like, if he – because he had – I might be wrong on, like, one or two pass plays. He had almost every single reception
on the final
on
drive.
That game-winning drive.
He had 9 for
including the touchdown, which I think is what sealed the deal there.
He had 9 for 131 here. I'll quickly tell you how that drive went. Ready? Roethlisberger to Mwelde Moore, which got wiped out by a holding. Holmes for 14, incomplete to Nate. Holmes for 13, Nate for 11, Holmes for 40 after Ben ran up the middle, and then Holmes for the tutter.
And I think at the time, at the very moment it happened, when after that play happens, immediately the people that are covering the game have to hand in their Super Bowl MVP votes. I think in that moment, most everyone thought great catch before they said great throw. Now, after multiple replays and years of looking back on it, I think the throw by Ben has almost now stands on equal footing with the
it
catch.
It should. I think the throw is an all-time throw.
But in the moment, even the way Al Michaels described the play, it's what a catch by Holmes. It's how did he get 2 feet in on the play?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, the 2 feet in was one of the most insane toe taps you'll ever see back before that was even something guys you felt like practice all the time. I think with time and all those advanced stats and like completion probabilities, we've come to appreciate great throws more that we didn't think of in the past. Here's why I think he deserves the MVP for that real quick. 13 targets, 9 catches, 131. You take away Holmes' plays in the game, right? Ben's numbers are 12 for 17 for 125 yards. and no and a pick. To me, that seals the deal.
One of the reasons people speculated that the Steelers let you get away was that you were too close with Ben. And I remember you telling me, what is wrong with being the coordinator, being close to the quarterback? And he used to tell me, we used to have some drag-out battles. You'd yell at him, and he'd go, I'm not Peyton Manning. I can't do it the way Peyton Manning did it.
Oh, definitely. We had some good ones now. And he loved to play the game. And his preparation was flawless also.
Wow.
But when he got out on the field, we'd had that little bet. If I called the plays and scored first, or if he called the plays and scored first, I think he sabotaged me a couple of times.
That is great.
Yes. Even his friends.
Man, no wonder why Ben hates Canada so much. Because even back then, Ben, as a young guy, was...
I mean, I will say of all the...
Wanted to call his own number.
Of all the great quarterbacks of this era, to me, Rodgers is probably the most similar, but he's a better player. Just the least, I don't know, the least like number of what I would call quarterback intangible qualities, right? I mean, we hear of these Manning stories of Manning cussing out coaches and being a perfectionist.
Well, Brady flipped out on teammates and coaches all the time.
But both of those guys were like first in, last out guys. Ben is the only one I've ever heard do it who was more last in, first out.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fan Hotline presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. She is the newsmaker, the tastemaker, the person who had it before anyone else. Omar Khan to GM, Andy Weidel as assistant GM. All access with Aditi Kinkabwala. Aditi, congratulations on all your success.
Sound so facetious when you say
that. Oh, it's not in this case.
Yeah, in this case, it is definitely sincere. Congrats on the scoop.
Thank you. You forgot one other piece of news, and that is that Sheldon White,
I teased it before you came on, and I said you were going to have more news. Oh. So I was setting you up perfectly, I may add. Go ahead.
Oh. Okay, so Sheldon White, who spent a long time in the Lions organization, he was the vice president of player personnel. He's more recently been with Michigan State and with the Washington Commanders, is also expected to join the Steelers staff and work with Andy Weidel in making personnel decisions. So my understanding of all of this is that even though Omar gets the general manager title, he will continue to sort of run the cap magic that he has always run, the business, the operations, the money, and that the personnel will be handled by Andy Weidel and Sheldon White and their staff under them, and that will be the arrangement, the setup.
My first...
A little bit untraditional.
Yeah, it is untraditional, and it's surprising just given the fact that Kevin Colbert was a monolith in the job for a very long time, and he and Tomlin worked well together. I guess, Aditi, my basic question is, if Andy Weidel and Sheldon White are both going to run the personnel parts of this, and Khan's duties will be largely similar to what they've always been here, the cap guy, the contracts guy, why give him the general manager title?
Well, I think that the idea is that they still ultimately report into him, or that he still deserves sort of a position of stature. He's earned that. Mm-hmm. Why have, you know, a series of vice presidents? You know, you do kind of want a guy there. I think at the end of the day, though, the Steelers are still saying we've been unbelievably collaborative over the last however many years, 22 years, Kevin Colbert's entire tenure, whether it was with Bill Cowher or Mike Tomlin, especially the last 15 years, Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to continue to be collaborative.
Yeah. But it sounds like you're saying his responsibilities or job description will not be the same as Kevin Colbert's GM title.
No, but Kevin also wasn't necessarily handling all of the money things that Omar was.
Right.
So why, that's what I'm saying, is that perhaps this is a little bit untraditional, non-traditional, whatever the way to phrase it, in the sense that it's not just the old school scout who's come up through old school scouting who becomes the GM. It's a different idea here, but it's taking advantage of different people with different skill sets and different and unique traits and putting it together in a pot that they hope works really well.
Why do you think Weidel left Philly, where he was Howie Roseman's number two, to be an assistant GM, Aditi?
I think that here he'll actually have more personnel say.
Yep.
Simply because of the way, I think part of it is coming home. I've been told, I don't know this, this is not confirmed, but his brother Casey, you know, one of his brothers is in Baltimore, and then his brother Casey was with him in Philadelphia, and there was a parting of ways, I guess.
That is confirmed. That is confirmed.
That Casey is indeed coming with Andy?
Oh, no,
just that
there
was a parting, yeah, that there was a seemingly acrimonious parting of ways there.
Right. So, you know, maybe a piece of it was Andy wanted to come home. Maybe a piece of it was that piece didn't sit well with him. Maybe Andy saw an opportunity to come work with his brother again and bring his brother here aboard. But I think the bigger piece is that he will actually have more personnel say here than he would in Philly, regardless of what the title is.
Aditi,
it's not just about the title. It's about the actual act of what you're getting to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at Keith Butler.
Well, how much of the act of what he's going to get to do is he going to get to do? Like, and I ask that by way or as a way to ask, how much more influence in the personnel process do you think Mike Tomlin will have now compared to what he had when he and Colbert worked as that collaborative team?
I don't have a single example of Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin having a drag-down fight disagreement and Kevin overruling Mike. I really think that they viewed players in sort of similar ways. Maybe they valued some things differently, but I think that, and I'll use the same analogy that I used with our friends Colin and Chris this morning. Mm. You know, if the GM is the chef, if the GM is the guy who's buying all the ingredients, the head coach is still the chef. The head coach still has to see how it all fits. And if the head coach doesn't want, whatever, rosemary or thyme in his dish, it's probably smart for the guy buying the ingredients to say, okay, we can get by without the rosemary. And so I think in this situation, you know, Mike Tomlin is going to allow his personnel guys to do all the scouting that they need to do to come and present the information. But I think if you're talking about the end of training camp and there's a guy that's, you know, kind of right on the bubble, and it's, or there's two guys and you're kind of trying to decide.
Yep.
My feeling is that Mike Tomlin has sort of had that final say because there's been a trust and a faith. You know what? The head coach needs to be able to coach this guy. The head coach is the one that recognizes who is coachable, who fits, who's the right personality in the locker room. And so I don't think that changes.
Aditi,
you know, like we've all heard the stories. I'm sorry. One more thing though, Pony. Mm-hmm. We've all heard the stories about Ambassador Dan stepping in and saying, no, we're taking Ben Roethlisberger, not Sean Andrews. Or Art stepping in and saying, no, we're taking David DeCastro, not Dante Hightower. I don't know a single story of Kevin Colbert saying to Mike Tomlin, no, you can't have the guy that you want.
Wait a minute. Art Rooney said, don't take Hightower, take DeCastro?
Yes, I've told this story 5 million times.
Oh, I didn't know about the Hightower part of it.
I didn't know who the player
was. That's his name, right? The guy who was the linebacker.
Yeah, he was really good.
I was going to say, did they get the better of that choice? Clearly did with Roethlisberger over Andrews. I'm not so sure as much as I like DeCastro.
The Patriots won Super Bowls with Hightower anchoring their defense.
And didn't Belichick say he was like my conduit on the field?
Yes, he was an assistant coach on the field. Exactly.
Okay, but the Steelers needed to shore up that offensive line. And remember, an offensive line is the sum of its parts. And David DeCastro was a Pro Bowl player for a very long time.
Yes, he was. He was a really good player.
He could have been one of the best guards here.
Yep.
You know, along with Alan Faneca, had that ankle not.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking about having watched Mark Barron and John Bostic and guys like that.
Someone needs to clip that and send that to David DeCastro the way I just took that so personally.
I don't think DeCastro gets back to my texts anymore. Aditi,
how about
this one for you? So if you're saying, hey, one of the reasons why Andy Weidel would leave Philly where he was number two and had a big say in their drafts is that he's not only coming home, but he thinks he might even have a bigger say in Pittsburgh, even though his title is like a lieutenant's title. Well, so my question is, if this is inherently a really good assistant GM job and you get more power as an assistant GM job here than maybe other places, why wouldn't Brandon Hunt want that job? And why wouldn't the Steelers just...
Brandon Hunt didn't want that job.
Okay, well, thank you for clarifying that for me. Why not? If it made sense because they groomed Khan to promote him, why wouldn't it make sense to promote Hunt, who you groomed for all these years?
Guys, I wish I could answer that one. And I'm really sorry I can't. I'll be very honest with you.
But do you know where I'm coming from with that? Is that not a fair question?
Brandon Hunt, it is a fair question. I don't have the knowledge right now or the journalistic remove or the desire, quite frankly, to even speculate on that. Brandon Hunt is one of the nicest human beings that I have ever met in my life. He is a truly genuine, sincere, hardworking man.
But it's a mystery here. That's a big mystery in all of this.
It is. And we'll see if anybody ever answers that. And I doubt that they will. And I'm certainly not going to speculate in any sort of way. But this is the decision that the Steelers made. And you're right. I said this too. I said this morning, and I've said it on the show to you before, that we all on the outside thought that the very obvious, easy answer was, why don't you promote them both? So kind of a very similar setup to what we're seeing. And it's almost like they're both EVPs or they're co-GMs or one is an EVP and the other is a GM, whatever, however you title it, that Omar would continue being completely in charge of the money and the cap and the business and that Brandon would be in charge of the personnel. But I was repeatedly told that inside the building, that conversation was never had, that Omar was never asked, how would you feel about sharing the role with Brandon?
But he was asked, how do you feel about sharing the role with Weidel?
I don't know. I don't know that for a fact, okay. But I'm guessing that he was indeed made aware of what the setup would be.
Can I then like sort of make an inference here that obviously the hiring decision is Art Rooney's? So therefore, like, it would seem to me that Art Rooney just, it boiled down to, on some level, he was more of an Omar Khan guy than he was a Brandon Hunt guy. If it even was a battle between those two to any degree.
Well, they were both finalists.
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, just,
that's
how
true.
I draw
like,
a line
day,
from point A to point B.
That's right. At the end of the day, that's his prerogative, right? He is the president and owner of the club. He gets to choose who he is most comfortable with. And the truth of the matter is that over the course of the last 22 years that Omar Khan has been with the Steelers, yes, Omar has spent a lot more time working closely with Art than Brandon has.
Aditi, thank you for breaking the story for us.
You know what, Aditi, the business side of it, the whole thing where Khan was much more of a business and contract side of it, it makes sense what you just said, that he would be working much more closely with the owner than would the personnel guy.
Right. And isn't that, hey, maybe one day when we own an NFL club, we'll get to make decisions, guys, like that. after Pony continues to have all of
God, can you imagine Pony after, like, he would want to be the GM,
well, hold
the
on
head
a second.
Coach.
If Omar Khan can be a GM, why can't I?
You can be. You're better. You might be better with numbers given that
okay,
memory
Pony,
of yours.
You can't have every job. You don't get to be offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator.
What job do you think Pony would want me to have? What job do you think he would have me doing?
Special
teams
coach. I think he'd make a great get back
Water
coach.
Boy.
The get back
Water
coach.
Boy.
I'd make you get back with a clothesline. That's what I would do.
Aditi, great job on this story, and we're so pleased to have you on the air with us every
week.
Thank
you, Aditi.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Bye, guys.
Bye.